Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Chris.
Dan.
Lee.
A lot of politics this week.
Boo.
Yeah. Probably better start with the driver's letter.
Yep, an open letter from the drivers to the hierarchy of F1, essentially.
Very respectful. You could tell that because it said several times in the letter that they were being respectful.
Yep.
And they made at various points... which I think you have most of the important bullet pointed there, do you, Paul?
Yes, I do.
That the governance is obsolete?
Obsolete and ill-structured. Yes.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Well, yeah, because the governance of F1 is... Well, it was Bernie, but according to Niki Lauda, it's now Bernie and John Todd, and whatever they say gets done.
Yes, which I'm surprised Niki Lauda is still A, alive, and B, got money.
It can't be that badly organised because of how, like, seamlessly they're integrating new rules.
Oh, so...
we'll get onto that again in a bit.
Yeah, so seamless, it's like one of our links, which we haven't done any of yet.
No. Nope. Yes.
Can't disagree with them on that point.
No, not at all.
No.
What else did they say after
they
restructuring?
They want to restructure the governance of the whole thing.
Right.
By that they mean Bernie.
Well, they haven't mentioned him in the letter.
They didn't mention him by name, but just as an aside, Bernie agreed with everything but criticised their grammar and punctuation.
Which I didn't think was too bad. But
they're not mentioning names, but it rhymes with Ernie Metalman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And they basically think that the way that the sports run at the moment is jeopardising F1's success.
Which I can understand, because imagine if we, for example, were trying to get into Formula 1 for the first time and I told you three about, oh, I'm starting to watch Formula 1, it's actually quite cool. And you're like, oh, how does it work?
This week...
exactly. This time round, it's a rule that's not here last week, and then the driver was done, he was really fast, but then he had to replace a part, so he's not at the front, because even though he's fastest, he's back there now. But the guys who were in front of him aren't actually in front of him, they just didn't replace the parts.
Which ties in with the next point on that letter, which is disruptive sporting and technical rule changes.
Well, yeah, because it is disruptive. Everybody gets involved. And it's the drivers that end up basically being the butt end of all the rule changes and everything else. It's like, right, you guys have to do this week, and then you guys have to do this week, and oh, you're not allowed to do that anymore, guys. So I can understand the drivers retaliating, the Grand Prix Drivers Association retaliating.
Unpopular opinion here, probably, amongst maybe yous and definitely some of our fans. I'd argue, though, that the Formula One drivers have the least right when it comes to rules.
Yes and no. Uh-huh. I'm not going to say the J word because we kind of both need to speak for about the next hour or so.
I'd say anything to do with safety.
That's grand. Yeah, of course.
That's what the GPDA was set up for.
I mean rules.
Yeah, but changing rules that affect the drivers, like the radio and the tear-offs thing. Changing them and then changing them back an hour before the race.
Yeah, but I was looking at that. It's not even... They didn't change it back. They just opened it slightly, didn't they? They opened it to strategy. All the rest of the radio...
Well, the tear-off ones to change back.
Yeah, but... all the rest of the, like, the stripping back of what you can say over the radio is still, you still can't say it. So it was just
yeah, but they were the rules that they ran within Australia were effectively the same as they were at the end of last season.
Yeah, after Belgium last year.
Yeah, which, you know, I can't tell you that, Lewis. How's the weather looking?
I thought it's still tighter than it was last year.
No.
Are you sure?
With the strategy calls, it was the main cut off bit for them when they allowed strategy. Well, then you got to, being a Formula One team, namely Ferrari or Red Bull, you then look at that rule and go, well, what quantifies as strategy? And then you put everything in.
Yeah, but they couldn't tell Lewis how to reset something on his car. They could have done that last year.
Yeah, at this point last year, but not after Belgium.
Because
they tightened the radio rules after Belgium.
I still think they could have told him to reset stuff on his car last year.
No, not after Belgium.
Because they were still talking about fuel mixes and all that sort of thing. and stuff like reset fucking strat mode 6 diff 1.
Yeah, but again, that's a strategy call, so they were allowed to do that.
No, I mean like in resetting stuff in the car. They were still doing that last year after Belgium.
And I thought now they weren't allowed to tell them which strat mode to go to on the car.
Yeah, it's definitely tighter now than it was last year.
But it might not. No one's actually got a clue how it works, though, because, I mean...
No, you don't.
Well, Ross Smedley didn't know how it worked before Australia.
Nope.
And he's a strategy director. And
he's also fucking lobbying for what he wants in Formula One. So if he goes up in camera and goes, oh, it's really fucking confusing, even I don't understand what's going on, it's because he wants you to know that it's confusing. It's not that he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, but essentially the radio rules are very similar.
But that's what I mean is when they opened them up, they only opened them up slightly.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite as dramatic.
But nobody was entirely sure how much they've been closed to begin with. They also said, and I think there's timing issues on this. F1 shouldn't concentrate on being exclusively on pay TV. 6 hours later, Sky come out with a press release saying they've got exclusive rights to all F1 races on pay TV.
From
2019.
Through to 2024.
Yes.
Yeah, which apparently there are a couple of vetoes that in place that can be used. One of them being from the drivers, strangely enough.
Although, just as an aside on the Sky one, Channel 4 is showing the first live race this weekend.
Yep.
And they don't have any of the extra feeds that the BBC had because Sky have grabbed exclusive rights to all those as well.
Good.
The driver tracker, the pit lane channel, and all the extra in cars.
Ouch. So they have to deal with the world feed and that's it.
So they get the world feed.
And that's it.
That's it.
So is it quite likely that Channel 4's coverage will start 5 minutes before the race and will end some 5 minutes after the finish?
Apparently they're still going for as much coverage as the BBC. They can use the footage afterwards, but they can't use it live.
Okay, weird.
And of course they'll be doing a build-up.
Yeah, but how can you do a build-up with no footage to...
With no pit lane tracker or... radio traffic.
You don't need that for a build-up, though, do you? No. You just need a few people stood in paddock walking around talking about what's going to happen.
Grabbing drivers and saying... How's the race going to go?
Yeah, can we follow you as you go for a wee?
Yeah, they're allowed to do the grid walk and things like that. It's just that during the race, they can't use anything outside.
Just during the race?
Just during the race, can't use anything outside of the world feed. Sky have grabbed the exclusives on that.
Right, okay.
Which I thought was a little bit underhand.
It is, but it's Sky.
So. Yeah, believe they're better.
If this could have a real negative impact on Formula One, though, couldn't it, in the long run? You know, it's quite dangerous as far as... Well, I don't know. I take it... Would that include Europe?
No, it's just UK.
Just the UK?
Just the UK.
Well, yeah, because Channel 4 are only broadcasting the UK.
No, but I mean, like, what's the pay TV situation in Europe, I wonder? Because I know Sky Italia don't do... Like, Italy, don't they?
Yeah.
So
I've not seen anywhere what they've got for that.
Yeah.
I would imagine that they're looking to get the same sort of deal elsewhere.
But can I also point out that the Sky deal sort of alluded to the fact that there will be no Formula One channel per se. It will just be shown as a programme on either Sky Sports Channel or on Sky One. Which they did a couple of simulcasts
last season. Or this new Sky Sports Mix free-to-air channel that hasn't launched yet, which is what the British Grand Prix is going to be on.
Yeah.
Because according to UK government broadcasting rules, the British Grand Prix must be shown live and not charged for.
Yeah. See, the other thing I'd argue about this is...
But it kind of devalues it if you don't get any of the other races live.
When did we say that Sky have got it from? 2018 to...
2019 to 2024.
Right. So I would... bet a large sum of money, like whatever is in my pocket, about 52p, that come 2020, Sky as an entity and pay TV will be a very different beast. Because this whole you pay your monthly subscription to a satellite or cable company is becoming quite antiquated, isn't it? So I Sky will have to go that way, yeah, you know, to a certain extent where it's, you know, internet TV driven content. Yeah.
Which they already have with Now TV.
Yeah, but more so.
And these new Sky boxes that they've just launched, which have got multiple internet feeds in there as well, yeah, as multiple satellite feeds.
Yeah. So if maybe in the future, for all we know, BSky B might even have a plan for this. The whole the thing, oh, well, your Formula One needs to be free to air, that it might not be as closed off behind the £60 Sky monthly fee as we think it might be now.
We can only sort of hope and surmise, basically. Yeah. I mean, showing my age here, but I remember when I got Sky and it was £17 a month, and that got you the two movie channels and the sports channel as well.
Yeah.
Now I'm paying somewhere in the region of
£7 million.
About that, yeah. You throw BT Sport in there because I watch football and other sports that BT show as well.
Yeah.
And you're looking at paying up to about £120 a month.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what I'd have done if I hadn't got Sky when Formula One first went to Sky, because I'm still only paying whatever the entertainment package or whatever it was now, with the HD bit involved in it,
where they threw in the Sky F1 channel for free just to try and tempt you to watch other sports that you don't want to watch, which you never do, so you never subscribed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's it. I mean, it's pickpocketing the fans, essentially, isn't it? Let's be honest. If you're paying that much per month, after, you know, taking it away from free to air. Did you have something quite interesting before we recorded about something about how to destroy Formula One?
Yeah, I found this. I found this on Twitter in the last couple of days. It's from M Sport Extra. You can find them on Twitter at M Sport Extra. How to kill F1. They basically listed all the points that would kill off a sport, which are all being done. Close down iconic circuits.
Yep.
Check. Make tickets unaffordable. Check. Yep. Alienate yourself from your core fan base. Yep.
Well, yeah, on its way.
Yep. Build new circuits in faraway countries with less fans but more money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Career anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to create a lot of confusing rules so fans don't understand the sport anymore. Well, we've already covered that tonight.
Yeah.
Get all the cars to look the same by freezing up development.
And using the same paint.
Yeah. Except Red Bull.
Yeah.
Don't let the teams test freely, so they will pretty much end up the way they started the season.
To be fair, though, I mean,
that's something that the teams have been asking for, is find ways to make the sport cost less.
Yeah.
Yeah, and testing costs money.
But allow them to test at their home circuits, maybe?
They still got to hire the circuit out and have personnel there, haven't they? Whereas simulators, which are completely legal.
Never ever give the fans a chance to watch the races afterwards through social media. Which, I mean, F1 has now appeared on Facebook, and apparently, I don't even follow it because apparently their Facebook page is useless. You are also, it's printed on every ticket and every pass, that any photos and video that you take are not allowed to be shared on social media, and anything that goes on within the confines of the circuit and the area is copyright Formula One management.
But that's kind of standard for events. We've all been to gigs, and if you look at the fine print on gigs, it says photography, video recording is prohibited.
Yeah.
I couldn't even take my fucking steel camera in to watch Morrissey when he played at the Villa.
If I'd have gone into Morrissey, I wouldn't have taken a camera, I'd have taken a stick.
I'm glad somebody threw
you wouldn't have been allowed. I'm sure that was on the ticket.
That he won't play in a venue where there's
just meant. Quickly before we go through this more, where's it from?
M Sport Extra. Sport Extra.
When
3 days ago.
See, now all that is a disgruntled F1 journalist fan that has sat there and gone, I'm going to write really shitty things about everything that's gone on in Formula One, then I'm going to post it on the internet, everyone's going to read it. Are you fucking twat? All he's done is that's grand. If that had been written, for instance, 5 years ago, then fine. All the stars have aligned. But all you've done is listed a thing of things you don't like.
I'm pretty sure this is tongue-in-cheek.
No, it's not, though, is it?
I mean, to be honest, if I read the rest of this out, then we've got a very short podcast, because we're going to rant about some of these at length. Don't do free-to-air broadcasts because it might attract more sponsors due to growing number of fans.
Don't like
the way that that's written, but that is a point.
That's the point we've just made.
That's the point that we've just made. Stop alienating fans. Moving on from this could happen soon because Bernie has agreed a price for the sale of Formula One. That's the thing. Formula One ownership is that confusing because it's owned by one company based in Jersey, Delta Topco, who CVC are a majority shareholder of that company.
Yeah.
Or a major shareholder. And he's agreed a price for Formula One to be sold, but has he agreed a price for all of Formula One? Has he agreed a price for his remaining shares? Is it CVC?
For the commercial rights of Formula One?
Yeah.
Because if you're selling the entire sport, you've got to look at the commercial rights.
I understand it is it's the commercial rights.
Which is what he's in charge of.
And if it was to be sold, would the new rights holder still have a sitting tenant clause in place where they've got to keep him in charge?
Well, that's happened once before.
When he sold it to CVC?
Yeah.
After Slack got rid of it?
Yeah.
I think in his divorce. If CVC moves, surely that'll be a time for Bernie Ecclestone to move on and somebody else to come in.
Yeah, and there are a whole host of people who could do that job, I'm sure.
Because obviously the exclusivity deal for Sky will be something that's being dealt with CVC, won't it?
Technically with Bernie, I suppose, because he is in charge of the company. He is given free rein to do with the rights what he sees fit.
So it sounds very much like somebody that's trying to make all of the money before they're no longer there. You know, like that one last cash grab.
Yeah, possible.
Yeah.
I think that Bernie will stay on with Formula One until there's no more Bernie. Or no more Formula One.
Mm.
Which, that's an interesting one.
Which one's going to happen first? In other Bernie-related news, he's announced today the Las Vegas Grand Prix is coming back.
What?
Yep. Hopefully not the same as not the 1982,
the one in Caesar's Palace car park. Now, this is going to be to the detriment of one of the races that's on the calendar because they won't have a bigger calendar than 21 races ever again.
So Didn't you say they won't have a bigger calendar than 19 not so long ago?
20 is a self-imposed
limit. It's 20 is the limit in the Concorde Agreement. They have to get sign off from all the teams, which for once every team had power of veto, not just Ferrari.
Yeah.
To get the 21 races in for this season.
See, I must admit, 21 races now feels like enough, doesn't it?
Feels like too much. I think 19-20 is a good number. Mm.
I'd
like one every other week, all year round.
26.
Yeah,
but the off season's so small now. But we do our best. Like random bullshit chatter in the off season.
We weren't supposed to be podcasting during the off season. Look what happened.
Yeah, we did about five.
Yeah, because of all the news that kept breaking.
So just imagine all the breaking news plus race reports as well. Sounds like tonight.
Yes.
Current thinking, and I'm going on the only source I've got for this, which was Sky, is that Monza is the one under threat.
Which is strange because the Italian sports minister has come out and said, I'm going to push for Monza to be safe. And can you imagine an Italian a Formula One season without an Italian Grand Prix?
To which Bernie responded, yes, a few years ago, people said to me, could you imagine a Formula One season without a French Grand Prix?
And guess what happened?
Yeah, but France haven't got Ferrari, have they?
They have. Prost.
And
Renault.
Yeah, but it's not like Renault. I saw a picture, strangely enough. I meant to do a screen grab of it to bring it up. There was a picture posted up on some Twitter thing the other day of the first race at Silverstone of the grid and sat there. I think it was either on pole or second on the grid. Was a Ferrari in the first race, yeah. And it was a Mercedes and a Ferrari actually. But the you sort of looked at it and thought, right, that's why you're so important. I don't think there won't be a French Grand Prix. Might not be at Monza, might be somewhere else, but Italian Grand Prix. Yeah. But yeah, there will be an Italian Grand Prix.
Well, yeah, because we said the way that Mugello has
got
its permission.
Mugello's got permission. Imola has changed almost, not quite beyond recognition, since this last Grand Prix in 2005, I think it was.
Mm.
That could very easily be ratified as a Formula One circuit again. So there are options, but it might not necessarily be Monza that gives way. And is it likely to be this year? Very unlikely, I would say, actually, unless an American billionaire just pumps
billions of dollars. It won't happen this year.
No.
No, there's not a chance of it happening this year.
Don't say that, because that will make it definite.
Yeah, there'll be true. Two.
They haven't actually said whereabouts in Las Vegas it's going to be. There is an oval circuit there.
Boring.
So they're going to have to Indianapolis it up.
Infield it.
Yeah.
I think they're building a new thing for racing your own cars and supercars that you can hire. I wonder if that will be a world-class racing circuit.
Possibly.
Mm.
Or just a fancy car park.
Fancy car park.
I'd take one singular oval circuit in a Formula One calendar.
No,
they're not short of land around Las Vegas.
No, but I'd take one oval race just as something that was different.
It would be interesting, just mm-hmm. to see how an F1 car copes with it. Yeah. But they aren't designed.
No, and the tyres aren't designed for it as well.
The suspensions aren't designed for it. Because I mean, with IndyCar, every team has got a street circuit, as they call it, chassis, and an oval chassis.
Yeah,
I'd also imagine that the crash tests are very different on an oval car.
It could be a Las Vegas street circuit.
Yeah.
Right down the casino strip.
Up and down the strip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it just seems to be the trend, doesn't it, for modern race circuits.
Bless you.
Thank you.
To be street circuits.
Mm.
But I thought, as we were saying about what would move way for it, I still think Spa's on borrowed time.
I hope not, because I love that circuit.
It's a fantastic circuit, but all of the older circuits are less safe than new ones.
Silverstone had to change radically to be able to keep the race. Yeah.
It's not just the circuit as well. It's incredibly hard to get to. Even when you get close enough to get to the circuit, it's a good hour walk to get into the circuit. The facilities are terrible. You know, like the pit area and paddock area, it is like a time warp, essentially.
Yeah, whereas Monza, I think you either said about Monza, you step off the train in, or you get to the airport in Milan, and there's a train that goes to Monza.
Yeah, it goes to Monza, and then you
step off the train, and then you're at the circuit. Yeah. So, you know, Monza should, by those standards, stay.
Well, one of the most impressive ones I've seen for the ease as well was Nürburgring. You can't walk around the circuit in Nürburgring, but on your ticket it has a car park number, and then so you drive to the car park for the corner, and every corner has a car park.
Very German, very efficient.
It was a
lot better than the 4 or 5 hour wait it used to be to get out of Silverstone after the race.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Just quickly. I had a Silverstone story. We had VIP parking one year at Silverstone. We pushed driving up to the circuit as close as we could dare to, essentially, to the point where we stopped at the sign which says "Welcome to Silverstone" over it. parked next to the Mercedes that was there, went, watched the race, came back, got into our Land Rover to drive up, and Norbert Howell got into his Mercedes next to us.
That's pretty VIP.
Yeah, that is pretty VIP. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Let's talk about something happier. Jenson Button.
Yay!
He is quite a happy man.
He is quite happy. He's now saying he's the full package on and off track.
Well, yes he is, but there's a little bit more to it than that.
Yeah, he conducts himself better off track than other drivers.
Yeah, most other drivers, I think he said, was it?
Yeah, I think a lot of the context of this was talking about the younger drivers and how they're not as experienced at dealing with sponsors and fulfilling those kind of duties as he is. So
he's had a lot of experience. What's this, his 17th season in Formula 1?
Yeah, he started in 2000. Mm-hmm. Although the conducting himself off track better than other drivers, I think that was a slight barb at somebody who will be releasing an album in the not too distant future, possibly.
I think you're putting words into people's mouths.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, all Formula 1 drivers are all going to, you know, some degree of media training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but would you rather see what an F1 driver is doing in his non-racing time in F1 racing, or get told that it's in heat?
See, to be fair to Lewis Hamilton, and I'm not a Lewis Hamilton fan by any stretch of the imagination, but the way he deals with himself off the track, and the way he does his social media thing,
yeah,
that's very much aimed at Lewis Hamilton fans.
Yeah,
he is well on board with his peers.
Oh, he is the Lewis Hamilton brand.
Yeah.
Chris, you follow him on Snapchat. How many pictures of his shoes has he Snapchatted in the last few
days? Today I checked Snapchat, and there was 150 seconds of Lewis Hamilton running, and then doing something in the gym, and then some guy was dancing, and then he was in a studio with some funny stickers on some guy's back that said the penis and a lollipop was the same thing. And then I got bored and didn't look at the rest. In fact, let's have a look. Let's do this live. I'm gonna open up my Snapchat now and see if Lewis Hamilton has sent me any Snap... Not me, personally. But sent his fans any Snapchat. Yes, he has. There is a picture of somebody in an airport. So, it's one of those floating things where you...
Virtual skydiving do the free falling indoors.
Yeah, so that's what he's doing.
It's in Milton Keynes or somewhere.
It's possible.
Listeners watching in black and white.
Yeah.
He's wearing a blue and yellow suit.
but this is the thing. He is connecting. That's obviously, you know, what he's posting. Him and his friends having a bit of fun. Yeah. Between races and things, this is boring.
All I get from that, and you can call me a...
Now he's in the studio in Bahrain, he has a song done, and that's boring.
But what you're forgetting here is, Paul, we're all in varying degrees of it, sorry, but we're old.
I know, and I was just about to say, call me old and miserable, but all I get from that is, I've got a cool life, wouldn't you like to be me?
Yeah, and there's loads of young kids looking
who are like,
at
yeah, them. I want to be like that.
Yeah.
That's it. And loads of kids who are like, they look up to Lewis Hamilton, like, wow, Lewis Hamilton.
He's an original G.
Yeah, absolutely. So...
I thought it was Oh Gangster, am I that out of touch? Obviously. Totes obvs.
He is the brand, Lewis Hamilton, and he knows how to market himself, and he's doing very well with it, which is why Formula One's ban on social media might be a little bit backward thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the way that...
Sorry, let me rephrase that. It's why Formula One might be a little bit backward thinking.
Yeah, didn't... what's his name? Ron Dennis, not so long ago, turned around and said he thought social media was a fad that would die out.
Possibly.
Sounds like something Ron might say, because he's not in control of it. So
yeah, but going on last year's McLaren, Ron Dennis thought winning was a fad that would die out, and it did.
Yeah,
had to get a McLaren joke in there somewhere. Let's talk
that
about
was a joke.
No, it wasn't. It was an attempt. It was an attempt.
It was a factual statement.
Yeah. Let's talk about Baku.
Who?
Baku.
Who's that?
That well-known European city.
Ah, the well, race, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
The Azerbaijan Grand Prix of Europe that isn't actually in Europe.
The one that Turker thinks is going to be the fastest street circuit ever?
Yeah.
It's currently the fastest street circuit. Macau, is it?
It's halfway through the calendar, isn't it?
Mm.
So we're going back in the future.
Oh. Was that a joke?
I tried.
19th of June, I think it is, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
Yes.
Sorry, it's not the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
The European Grand Prix.
The European Grand Prix in Baku.
Yeah.
On cobbled streets between a castle and a wall.
I it's the Paris-Roubaix of motorsports. Yeah.
What's the fastest street circuit? Macau. No, it's the flipping TT course. You're about a mile and a half from it.
Well, no, your cars don't use it though, do they?
Well, no, but it's still a straight circuit.
Yeah, not even a mile and a half from it, probably. No, no, a quarter of a mile from it.
But what's the average speed of a bike around Macau?
I don't know. I mean, bikes use Macau as well, don't they? Yeah. Cars, yeah.
Yeah.
Macau.
So you could actually compare the two.
Yeah, you could. Tell you what.
Paul, quick. Use that fascinating thing called the internet, which Ron Dennis thinks might die out soon.
I will do this very quickly.
The internet? Nah, never last.
This fastest lap round in Macau. Not sure, but it's moving.
Oh.
I'll do this as quick as I can so you don't have any more of Lee's jokes. Basically, I think what it looks like is Herman Tilke is redesigning the entire city centre of Baku.
Well, he can, because he's Herman Tilke. German, or wherever he's from.
It's all going to be very flat, very white.
And lots of runoff areas. Yeah. Into castles. You have entered the dungeon zone. Hearts will be loving that, won't they?
Everything. All of a sudden, the city's just going to look like some sort of massive urban park.
It'll look like the Olympic Autodrome. Yeah. Sochi.
Right, let's have a look at the average speed for the Macau Grand Prix with bikes.
Yes.
Lap record. Racing lap. Oh, great. It's got times, it doesn't have speeds. Scott Speed is the record holder for Formula Renault, by the way.
Scott who?
Scott Speed.
Scott Speed.
No.
Yes.
Is that Manx flag? Oh, no, it's not. Sorry, carry on.
No, it's the Hong Kong flag.
No average speeds for bikes.
No average speeds for bikes listed that I can find.
What's the average speed of the island, Matt? It's 132 point...
Something.
Point something,
point
yeah.
Something, point five, is it? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which makes it pretty fast.
That's the average speed, by the way, not the top speed. And that's a lap that takes 16, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's have a look here. Can't find anything. This is going really well.
It's not going well.
This is terrible, really.
This is not... whose idea was this?
This was yours.
Anyway,
yeah.
Azerbaijan says it's probably going to be faster streets... Herman Tilke says that the Azerbaijan Baku street circuit is going to be the fastest street circuit in the world.
Fastest street circuit to be dropped from the F1 calendar.
Yeah, it's going to be dropped after one race.
That could be where Las Vegas comes in.
Ah, very good.
Right, now it's three... right, hang on. I'm getting somewhere here.
Will that
it's
be the European Grand Prix as well?
3.8 miles.
Are you doing the maths? Are you doing this? I'm actually over time?
Yeah, I'm actually doing maths.
This is
a great segment of the podcast.
I know. This is... What's happened to us?
Oh, I don't know. It's either faster or not faster.
You're not getting those minutes back, are you?
You're not. Do I have to
edit this? Fast forward.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, for the love of God, yes.
And we're back in the room. So, what do we think about a massively fast street circuit which is going to average over 130 miles an hour at least then? With those narrow roads...
When you're looking at Formula One cars going between castles and walls, I think, help.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what, I mean, we've seen one corner for all we know. Yeah.
I think wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the barriers aren't up yet, so we don't actually know how wide the rest of it's going to be.
So they're going to have the people putting out the bales of hay like...
just like the new round here, yeah.
Yeah. Tech Pro barriers right up against the wall, which is... probably going to do you nothing, I would have thought, to be quite honest with you.
Works in Monaco.
Hope it rains. be nice if we got there. It'd be nice if it rained there.
In Azerbaijan?
Yeah. It's not going
to Paul, happen. What's the average rainfall of Azerbaijan?
Ask the internet.
We won't go there again. That
what, we won't go on the internet? Have you turned, no. it, to Ron, you turned it to Ron Dennis?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
The internet is a fad. It will die.
Long live the carrier pigeon.
Yes.
Oh, please, read your Harry Potter. Owl. All right, I suppose we can't go any further without talking about qualifying and the rule changes and the non-rule changes. Now,
this wasn't at the recording of last week's podcast, so I listened to it the other day, where Paul said very clearly, qualifying is definitely, definitely going back to the 2015 rules.
I was quoting The Guardian.
Yeah. That's that which The Guardian had an interview with somebody important who said that.
Yes. Since then,
it's changed.
He's not so important.
No, it's now going back to the Australian Grand Prix rules at the moment. Bearing in mind, we're recording this on Monday night.
Yes.
Qualifying is on Saturday.
Yes.
All sorts of things could change.
Anything could change by then and change back again.
So basically what's happened is the teams had agreed that no, the new qualifying format didn't work and they wanted to go back to the original qualifying format.
Yeah, because it was stupid, rubbish, pointless, uncompetitive. I'm just picking out random words from the quotes from the team principals when they were all interviewed about it after Australia.
There was then a meeting with some other section of Formula One where the teams were presented with a couple of options. Option one was use the Australian qualifying format, and option two was use the Q1 and Q2 format from Australia and the 2015 format for Q3 and lengthen Q1 and Q2 by a minute. Now, since the teams hadn't agreed on that qualifying format, the only format that was presented to them that they'd agreed on
was the original was the original
2016 elimination.
Yeah. So that's what's happening.
Yeah. So because they were given no time to choose.
No one could agree, but there was no unanimous decision.
Yeah.
No, wasn't there a unanimous decision apart from Force India?
That's not unanimous.
Well, no, but everyone decided to go back to the old rules, but Force India
Said no.
Yeah.
So it's all Force India's fault.
So basically, it's still a complete mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
see, I wouldn't have had a problem with this if they'd have just left it and said, right, Q1, for instance, one of the most exciting Q1s you've ever had. Let's see how it goes for a couple of races.
Mm.
Apart from the fact that obviously drivers they need to work out when they can run, you know, to get the maximum amount of laps in,
yeah,
and maximum amount of hot runs in.
Yeah.
That's something that teams that's what teams will work out over time.
Yeah.
As one of those things. The problem with it, which is why this system will always fail, is the teams do not have enough tyres to be forced into running too much.
Which is what we were saying last week about the let's just keep it as it is with the 2016 rules, but build them a qualifying tyre that's quick over 8-9 laps, and then that's not able to be used for racing.
But also, you do your qualifying on mediums.
Yeah.
But this year's tyres, apparently, someone's come out and said this week, the layering on this year's tyres doesn't have the drop-off.
Right.
And they just gradually degrade. They don't get to a point where
there's no cliff.
There's no cliff. There's no finish. It's just getting a bit worse, getting a bit worse, getting a bit worse, getting a bit worse. Time for a tyre change.
Yeah. There's no getting a bit worse. Might come in this lap. Oh, crap! My tyres are completely gone.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a good thing to me. It means that people like Perez have got a much better chance of making the most of their skills.
Which is probably why Force India said no to...
Probably.
Yeah.
To the change.
I wonder how much, like the whole tyre allocation thing, it was to bring the costs down for teams.
Yeah.
I wonder how much money that saves over the what it was like when teams were just buying loads of tyres to bring. You know, if all of a sudden you could, you still have the locked in compounds, but if the teams could have as many sets of those tyres as they want, I wonder what the difference in price would be, given the fact that because of this engine cap on customer teams that have got engines is saving the teams like 5 million or something like that, an engine or something ridiculous, isn't it?
$1 million an engine.
Is it $1 million? I think it was.
The savings, no, it's well, yeah, over it's
million. Five. Because it was like 15 million they were getting charged an engine, isn't it? It's now 10.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, apologies, so, I got that wrong. So I thought it was only $1 million.
Yeah, is there a case to be made that there's been enough money saved in a certain place that maybe you could relax the rules over here?
With the tyres?
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. We quite enjoyed the tyre rule, didn't we? The tyre change, where you have to use two of the three compounds.
Yeah.
That really mixed it up, and we enjoyed that part of the racing. If you then throw in a qualifying tyre, does that, or a tyre, you allow them to have enough tyres for qualifying, does that then
you've still got three compounds, so you've still got different strategies. The only time, it's because if you've got... if you've only got two compounds, you can have as many sets as you want, but the variables of what you can do with two things.
Yeah.
You know, if you've essentially got like a binary system, the teams are always going to gravitate towards one set way of doing it, aren't they? Whereas you throw an extra tyre into the mix, then you, like, there's a third element to it all. That doesn't matter whether you've got two sets or through 200 sets of them.
Fair enough.
No, I agree with you on that. Well, that would be better.
Did it make sense? I blacked out for a second.
Yeah, you did. It was a little bit scary. Let's get you back on familiar turf.
Ah.
Something that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Let's look forward to Bahrain.
Yes.
first bit of news on the Bahrain Grand Prix is we're going back to Force India again. Their development driver is Alfonso Celis. Will be driving Friday morning in free practice one.
Be interesting to see how he does. He looked quite quick at the pre-season tests.
Yeah, I think the first test he did 2 days, and the other two only did a day apiece. And he was getting some solid times in there, and the car made the car look good.
Well, the car was looking quick all through pre-season testing. We've talked about this.
We
think they've got the turbo button pressed or something like that.
Yeah, we think they were nailing it from day one.
They were back sounding.
Yes, they were.
But he was looking very respectable compared to other drivers.
Yeah.
Compared to his teammates.
Yeah, definitely so. I think that's going to be good. And I think they are gearing him up to be in the race car next year.
Which makes you ask the question, which driver are they thinking of either bidding off or is going to leave?
Conjecture time again.
Who are you talking about? Pascal?
No, Chalice.
Oh,
Force India.
Right, got you.
You know, the black and silver ones that have got more money than Sauber, but nobody else.
Yeah, I don't see Hülkenberg in Formula 1 next year.
Possibly not. Possibly World Endurance for Hülkenberg. Mm.
On his own?
On his own. Winning the World Championship. No help from anyone.
Yep.
Didn't even have a car.
Yep. Skateboards all the way.
Yeah,
because he's proved that he's got driving skills outside of F1.
Yeah.
Perez has sponsors behind him, and they pay up. So
Perez has been looking very good, and I wouldn't be surprised if bigger teams were interested in him.
Yeah.
I think he's ready now. He wasn't ready when he went to McLaren.
Yeah.
He's looking back like he looked at Selber now, isn't he?
Yeah.
When he looked impressive at Selber, and he was getting podium.
Well, he got a couple of second places, didn't he?
Well, he could have won a race if they weren't on the phone to him.
Could have won two races.
But I totally agree.
Could have won two races that year. Could have won that Malaysian Grand Prix where he's pushing Alonso. And they got the blow. I told him not to make a mistake, and then he made a mistake.
Did they talk to him in the corners?
I think they must have.
Oh man!
And then he could have won the Italian Grand Prix where he was chasing Lewis Hamilton, and I think Sauber got their tyre call slightly wrong, didn't they? Did they pit him slightly too early? Slightly too late, sorry, for the faster tyre at the end of the race.
Yeah.
And they kept him out a little bit too long on the mediums and pitted him on the softs. Just a little bit too late. Otherwise, he probably would have caught
Lewis Hamilton. A little bit too late. Was it like 20 laps too late?
No. He was catching Hamilton at a hell of a rate. I think it was 2012 Italian Grand Prix. He was catching Hamilton at a hell of a rate in knots, and Hamilton was on the slower tyre, but they pitted him too late. He still had lots of rubber left on his tyres, so if they pitted him 4 or 5 laps earlier, he probably would have caught and passed Hamilton.
Mm.
But you say the big teams will come looking for him, but are the big teams going to have any vacancies?
That's a good point.
And if you've got a driver of that quality, would you let him go?
Yeah.
Whereas Hülkenberg, as good as he is, and joking aside, yeah, he did win Le Mans. And he wanted to do it again and isn't able to this year because of the Baku Grand Prix. You know, is he going to be looking elsewhere?
Ferrari.
Possibly.
Ferrari are going to look to get rid of Kimi. I think that Red Bull will be in a position at the end of this year, that going into 2017, Max Verstappen will prefer to be a Red Bull Adrian Newey driver than any other team. And I don't think, I think Kimi's going to be very lucky
to be in Ferrari again, keep his seat
next year. So I also think Perez he looks like a Ferrari driver to me. He looks like the sort of driver that would fit in at Ferrari.
Possible. Yeah.
Not thought about it like that. So what are we looking forward to this weekend then?
Night race for a start.
Yes.
WrestleMania. Oh, Formula One.
That's why you want to book next Monday off work.
Motherfucking.
Yeah, it means WrestleMania for a start. No, the night race is always a good spectacle.
Means we're not getting up at 3 in the morning.
Bahrain is a better race at night, I think, than it was during the day. I don't know, I just didn't seem to... I never enjoyed it until it became a night race. It always appeared to be quite dull. They had that year where they used a really weird circuit layout as well, do you remember? And they ended up changing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a really odd, sort of bizarre layout, and the drivers were like, what is this? It doesn't flow at all. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there was chicanes where they didn't need to be, and no chicanes where they needed to be.
Just a wobbly bit, which didn't need to be there at all. I think they made that straight now.
Yeah, most of the drivers tried straight lining it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like one of the slalom round the cones things.
Yeah. So, yeah, a night race is something to look forward to. And, what else is going to happen?
I don't know, but I prefer that Bahrain being a night race. It was so off-putting when you could see the sort of poverty and obvious...
We could see the protesters.
Yeah. The obvious human rights violations outside the circuit. Set in my nice house and having a warm cup of tea. It was really, really off-putting.
Yeah. It was really off-putting when there was nearly an uprising and the government put them down.
It's like having a tuna sandwich and someone killing a dolphin in front of you.
Yeah. it doesn't sit well, does it? But there was a year, wasn't there, where the Bahrain Grand Prix was boycotted?
It was cancelled. Yeah.
That was the year of the Arab Spring, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah. It was one of the, I'm not looking it up.
No, don't use the internet.
No, the internet's bad, actually, if the internet's bad, how are people going to listen to this?
The internet's good.
Yeah, we'll mail out TEKD90s of it.
Yeah. But there's generally speaking good on-track battles at a night race. Bahrain. We've seen with Vettel and Ricciardo the first one, and then obviously the one that keeps getting spoken about, the Hamilton Rosberg one as well.
It's worth saying.
Had a good battle, the two Force Indias.
Yeah.
So matched cars tend to be able to get close to each other in Bahrain.
Yeah, Toro Rosso is going to be fun then.
It is worth saying that the most of the drivers after Australia, or some of the drivers after Australia, were saying it was very difficult to follow cars this year. Or be more difficult to follow cars this year.
Oh, right, okay. So we might not be able to get
in for a Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Oh. You've hit your quota for tonight.
That's not mine. Bahrain's been called boring loads of times. Yeah, how can we blame for that?
It was boring, like back in I was surprised to learn it. It was like 2004 was the first Bahrain Grand Prix.
Yeah, I'd come
as far as I'm concerned, it was like it's still a relatively new Grand Prix.
Jesus Christ, they're so boring. Dead.
Yeah, but they're so boring that you just forget all about all. Name a classic Bahrain Grand Prix pre 2010. Exactly. 2010, the one where they had the weird layout. I think that was 2010. That was the first one where people paid attention to it because the track was terrible.
I must say, it's still one of my least favourite races of the year.
Yeah. But there's money there and no fans.
So, who's going to have to do what, improvements-wise? First one for me is that Lewis has got to learn how to start.
Both Mercedes have to learn how to start. Ferrari have got to learn how to do strategies.
Yeah.
Vettel's got to learn how to take the penultimate corner.
Yep. Sauber's got to learn how to manage on a shoestring again.
Yep. Max Verstappen's going to learn how to sit behind his teammate for a little while.
And only push when told to.
Our podcast is going to learn how not to swear about Max Verstappen.
Only if he doesn't swear.
Yeah.
If Max Verstappen swears, we swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the FIA are listening to this, can you lend us your beat machine?
Yes. I might need it.
Yeah. So, predictions.
Are we going what? Pole and race winner?
Pole and race winner.
Nico Rosberg on pole. Sebastian Vettel race winner.
I'm going to go Lewis pole, Vettel to win.
Lewis pole, Rosberg to win.
Lewis pole, Kimi to win.
Ooh.
I just want to be different. I think it's Vettel.
So we more or less agree, but you don't, just to be awkward.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a Rosberg pole and a Perez win.
I'm I'm excited to see how Julian Palmer does as well this weekend. He did really well in his first Grand Prix.
He won the GP2 race in Bahrain last time they were at Bahrain. He was at Bahrain.
Yeah, I don't think there's a GP2 race there this week, is there?
No, they have it at a different time. They have it at a daytime race.
Oh, yeah.
Later on in the season, I think.
Yeah.
So, no, GP2 is testing at the moment because I've seen a lot of tweets from various GP2 teams.
Hello, GP2.
Hello, GP2. Race Engineering, thanks for following us.
Yeah.
And of course, Norman Natter, long time friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
First professional driver to tweet us.
Absolutely.
So, have we got anything else to cover? Well, the kettle's boiled. I think that about sums it all up for this week.
It would all just be guesswork for Bahrain, really.
Yeah, there's been no development, there's been no...
No, we know that Renault...
Renault are bringing a new front wing that they had the prototype of on K-Mag's car. Mm.
Well, that's not going to set the world on fire, is it? We're not going to see Julian Palmer and K-Mag out front because they've got a new front wing.
No, but I do think that Renault are in a better position with their own team than I think they thought they were going to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, what was it, 11th and 12th in Australia. Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, just outside the points.
Yeah. Will we see them in the points this week, do we think?
Maybe.
Possibly. Haas, do you reckon they'll score points?
No.
No double points for Haas?
Don't forget.
Double points, but two races.
It depends what happens in the race, but if it's a clean normal race, Grosjean got points because he was gifted 20 seconds, essentially. Yeah.
Well, he was chosen pissed off at the right time.
Saying that, though, I'd argue, though, that against my own point, that Haas should have been further up the grid in qualifying.
They
clearly had a car that was quicker than...
Right. Yeah, possibly.
Well, if it hadn't been for the 90-second cut-off, Grosjean would have made it through to Q2.
Yeah, so...
And the... my bold prediction of a double McLaren points in Australia didn't happen.
No.
Why
not? Well, Fernando Alonso might have ended up upside down.
Was it safe to get out? Was it a good idea to get out?
Is getting out of the car a bad idea? Well, how is it worded?
Pretty much like that.
Yeah. Is getting out of the car a good idea or a bad idea? BBC have cut back on their Formula One coverage so much that they're asking if getting out of a crashed car is a good or a bad idea.
Being on fire, good or bad?
Yeah, pretty much.
Depends if you're Kimmy or not.
So don't listen to Five Lives podcast because it's rubbish. Listen to us instead. They've cut back on their budget so much.
Sorry, Five Live, if you're listening.
No, not sorry, Five Live. Get better at podcasting.
That was the BBC website. That wasn't even the podcast.
Cover Formula One better, BBC, or get out completely.
Wow.
So
strong words there from Chris.
Yeah. Go on, let's have some bold predictions.
My bold predictions: Fernando Alonso, top five finisher.
Ooh.
Pretty bold.
Sauber, points.
Whoa.
I like that got a bigger woe than my Fernando Alonso top five finisher.
Well, he's finished top five last year in a worse car.
Yep, correct.
I think Flood's right. I think there might be some McLaren in the points there. But I think more bolder than that, I think Julian Palmer will get his first points of the season.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
I'm standing on your theme. 2 points finishes for Renner.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Right, I think that's about it for this week.
Do you want to?
Apart from a couple of things that I have remembered that I said
you
I
have
was
remembered.
Going to do.
You
I have
said
remembered.
You were going to forget.
Yeah,
remembered them.
I've remembered them. First thing, thanks for the reviews on iTunes. Keep them coming in.
Positive or negative.
Somebody said that we swear too much, and if you're offended by the swearing, we do apologise, but it does say explicit.
Fuck off.
Parental advisory sticker on there. Yeah, and what Dan said. Other thing is, somebody said that not everyone's got Twitter and they want to get in touch with us, so you can email us on 3legs4wheels@gmail.com. Drop us a line if you've got any questions for us or suggestions, or you just want to tell us to fuck off.
Which you're more than welcome to, if that's how you feel.
Yeah, obviously tweet us at 3legs4wheels if you've got any of your bold predictions for the race weekend as well.
Yeah, we want to hear them.
And we'll be doing the live blog on Sunday. Myself and Chris will be poised in front of computers.
Yes.
Live blogging the race from about an hour before lights out until all the action seems to have finished. So you can join us there at the website, 3legs4wheels.com. And we will see you next week.
Yeah. Also, if there's anything that anyone's got that they want us to talk about on the podcast...
Yeah, of course, just let us know,
Yeah.
Any subjects you want us to cover.
Formula One related.
Yeah, Formula One related. Yeah.
Questions for us.
Like, how are you going to pay your gas bill or something like that.
Well, debit, obviously.
Or who's going to take the WWE title in WrestleMania? Because that's a highlight of your weekend.
Yeah.
Romain Grosjean.
Fans, if you tweet us and make this happen... I can have a corner. I can have a WWE corner in the Formula One podcast.
No, you can't.
If enough people do it, we have to give the fans what they want.
Fans don't want that. It's a Formula One podcast.
Can I just also point out that I'm in control of doing the editing, so I can just cut that bit out?
Yes.
And you may see us on YouTube soon. Won't that be a thrill?
Yeah,
we're gonna try and put the podcast up on YouTube. If
do you do that thing where you listen to like people on the radio and think I know what that person looks like, but actually when you see them you're like, what? They don't look anything like I thought they sounded.
People might be able to do that to us soon.
Yeah, they will be. Yeah,
we'll leave you with that thought till next week.
Amazing.
See you later.
Pretty.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.